Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hi. That was fun. I'm not sure if I clicked the wrong music or not, but I think it was good enough to get us started. So, hi, everybody. It's AK, and I have Lori joining us tonight as my co-host. Hello, Lori.
Hello, I kind of like that tune. I wasn't dancing to it at all.
Sure, no. And I could see on my little switchboard here thing, it was going to go on 5 minutes and 48 seconds, so I had to stop it. But, yeah, it was kind of like a, you know, a thing. Maybe we're trying out a new intro. So,
little gift that God bless you.
Yes, yes, maybe it is. Just speaking of which, Deb did leave us. She went to Fran Camp in Atlanta. So I think they're having a tweet up right now. So if you're interested to hear what's going on at the Fran Camp tweet up, in addition to listening to the show at the moment, you can follow along with the Fran Camp hashtag on Twitter. And as you are following along with the Fran Camp hashtag on Twitter, you may see mentions of Lori and myself, as well as Dana, being at Fran Camp. So to clear up any confusion, we are only sort of at Fran Camp in that Dev took 3 flat versions of us to Fran Camp. So, Lori, have you been seeing us get around there?
Yeah, so we were hanging out with Jen McDonald earlier, getting caught up with her and what she was doing. Hey, AK, have you opened up the chat?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I can see it. Are you?
Maybe I didn't push it.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I can see Dana and Chuka.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah. So, so everybody's, there's flat AK and flat Lori and flat Dana floating around. So if you're seeing those tweets, that's what that's about. Mine is particularly goofy because mine's on my fit desk, the picture of me. So it was my whole story that I couldn't pry myself away from the fit desk long enough to make it to Fran Camp, although the real sad state of the matter was I actually have a wedding to go to, which is why I couldn't be at Fran Camp, but I'm glad I can at least be there in spirit. So I'm excited to follow along. Tomorrow they're going to be Ustreaming it, I believe, and of course tweeting with the hashtag. So if it's like it was last year, which I'm sure it'll be the same, if not probably better, you can essentially participate online almost as if you're there in person. So highly recommend you check that out.
Yeah, I attended virtually through the streaming last time, and it worked out really well.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had people who were saying that, you know, they were tweeting and somebody was asking them if they were there and they didn't see them there, and the people who were there couldn't tell the difference between the people who weren't there, except they couldn't find them anywhere. So it was definitely fun. So I'm excited to hear what everybody's takeaways are, and I'm sure on a future Social Geek radio show, we'll have a couple of new guests on who were Fran Camp attendees, perhaps for the first time, so we can hear everything they learned, so that'll be exciting too. So that being said, we can jump into our topic for this evening, which is how to get on the radar of your target audience online. And I'm excited to talk about that because I think lots of people think that they can sort of just set up a Twitter account or set up a Facebook business page, and then people are just going to come and like it and follow along and participate. And if somebody has had success just setting it up and then people come to it, I would love to talk to you because I need to know what the secret is behind that. But otherwise, there's definitely some legwork that you need to be putting in to, you know, make sure that you're getting not just people to come and follow you and come and like you and engage, but the right people, the people who are actually going to potentially need whatever your services or your products are, or be able to refer people to you. So I think that's definitely something we can all do better at, myself included. I know there's things that I could be doing that I'm not doing, and so I'm excited to share it with you. So, Lori, if you have ideas that you see in here, you know, share your ideas with us. And if anybody in the chat has ideas that we don't mention, feel free to put them in the chat or ask questions. And we're going to kind of sort of just use the SlideShare presentation as a just a rough guideline to guide us through the discussion. So you can get that SlideShare presentation at slidesha.re/capital H capital V capital O lowercase c lowercase s 9, and I will put that in our chat right now. It's also in the description of the show, so you can get to it from there. All right. So, Lori, before we get started with this and go through, if I were to ask you what you think the biggest mistake businesses make once they get onto Facebook and Twitter is, what would you say?
Embracing the Field of Dreams version of social media. If you build it, they will come.
Exactly. And that's totally true. So it's like kind of like what I was just saying. The biggest mistake is not telling anybody that you actually have a Facebook page and a Twitter account. Do you know what the second biggest mistake is? Of course, it's in my humble opinion, but from what I have seen, aside from not telling people about it?
Is telling them about it, but not really giving them a good link to it.
That is definitely something, you know, you tell people that it's there, hey, find us on Facebook. But especially Facebook, more so than Twitter, has a horrible internal search. So just to say to somebody, hey, our business is on Facebook, and leaving it up to them to be able to now figure out how to exactly find you on Facebook is certainly a mistake the businesses make. The other one is not giving people a reason why they should to like you on Facebook or follow you on Twitter. And I see this everywhere. I was just this evening driving past the Maryland State Fairgrounds, and they have this huge lit-up dynamic bulletin board, really pretty graphics that say, check in at the fairgrounds on Twitter, or on Facebook, rather. And it has a URL, and I was like, yes, that's awesome, except it doesn't give anybody a good reason as to why they should take that step to check into the fairgrounds on Facebook. So, you know, I think it's kind of like, okay, well, that's cool, but if they had said something like to keep up with, you know, coming events or to get discount tickets or something like that, that would probably make me go forward and at least remember that I want to look into that. So we have telling people, we have giving them a way to find you, and then we have giving them a reason. So,
that's right. It's like inviting someone to your house and then just letting them sit on your couch and not talk to you.
Right. Yeah. It's like, hey, what am I doing here? You know, why did I waste my time? And that's, you know, that's exactly what it is. And then there's the follow through. You know, exactly right. When people get to your Facebook page, you know, if you're just, you know, kind of going through the motions where maybe you can only post to your Facebook page once a week, or it's always a link, or you're auto-feeding your Twitter right to your Facebook. You know, those types of things is what I consider just kind of doing it for the sake of doing it, and there's no real strategy behind it. You know, so you have to even, you know, once you get the people there, you have to then, you know, give them a reason to keep coming back or to continue to like your page and not unlike you, so it's definitely a good point. So,
I think next step there in the chat.
Engaging, yes. Right, and, you know, so that's, especially if a lot of times I see a page and you have tons of people who are going to the page and they're asking questions, or, you know, the people who like the page are legitimately trying to participate. You know, they love to, you know, people, especially if it's a product they really like. I see pages where people will go and they'll post pictures of themselves using the product. And then you can see what the business is doing, and the business is just posting their own content, and they never take the time to acknowledge the people who are posting or answer the questions or just say, hey, thanks for coming. We appreciate your support and your loyalty, you know, and things like that. So it's definitely, it's got to go both ways, especially if you have people who want to engage. That's half the battle. Sometimes the burden is on you as the business to, you know, get people to take that step. So there's, you know, definitely work involved there. But, you know, I see pages where people are, like, begging the business to engage with them, and they're not even doing that.
Here's where I get lost in the engaging process, particularly on Facebook, is people liking your post. It means they've looked at it, they've taken enough initiative to click like. How do you acknowledge and engage them? Do you say, hey, thanks for liking the post?
Well, you can do that, and you can, if it's the person also likes the page, because it used to be that people could not comment on your page or like your post unless they liked the page first, and that's no longer the case. So I'll have people come to some of the pages that I manage, and, you know, I can tell they're interacting with the page, and they've never clicked the like the page. The reason I mention that is because if a person likes the page, you can tag them in the post in your response so that you make sure that they get that notification that you have, in fact, replied. So when I do see somebody who likes it, if they also like the page, I can tag their name, and I might ask a follow-up question. You know, thanks so-and-so for liking the post, or noticed you liked the post. What in particular was it that you liked about the post? You know, something like that. So you can try to get them more involved and at least let them know that you realized that they were at your page and taking action. So if you can't tag them because they don't like the page, you just type their name and hope they come back to see the post. Kind of just taking a step back just in terms of how to get people to like your page. Sort of looking at slide number 4 here on the slide share, a lot of people, they forget about the network they already have. So they've created a business page and they have 300 Facebook friends. So you have friends and family. And they think, oh, I don't know anybody who would be interested in my products or services. And while that might be true, the fact of the matter is those 300 so people probably know somebody amongst their 300 or so friends that may one day need your products or services or have an interest in your business. So at the very least, you can use Facebook as a way to remind your existing network what it is that you do and that you have this business. Yes, it would be nice if they would like the page. That would give you another like to the page, and, you know, somebody might see that action in their timeline. But I've found that for a couple of my clients, I'll say, well, you know, have you gone through and told your network? Oh, no, you know, I haven't done that. I said, well, do you think they would like your page? They would be interested. Oh, yeah, you know, they might. And it's like, you get so focused on the aspect of customers, and prospects, and who, you know, who's going to like my page, who's going to give me money, that you forget about this already established network. So I would say, you know, it's, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but is, I guess, I don't know, but, you know, it might not sound very nice to say that, you know, forget about your friends and family for a second as friends and family, but instead see them as potential referral sources. you kind of have to think like that as a business owner and potentially somebody who's marketing for your business. You know, who are these people who, let's assume that they like you as a person and that they trust you and they would be willing to refer you. They just need to know that you have a business and what it is you do and what it is that you offer, so that they know they sort of have you in their arsenal if somebody that they know is looking for what you offer. So I think that's a really good place to start. And for and this does pertain more to Facebook, but you have that option as an admin where you can go in and there's a drop-down button that says Build Audience. I think it's on the next slide here. Admin panel and then Build Audience, and you can click Invite Friends. Once you click on that, you can literally go through and click on all the people with whom you're friends on Facebook and invite them. They'll get a notification that you have invited them or suggest that they like such and such a page. So that's a good step. And also, too, something else that you might want to consider, if you have employees or a business partner, if they're not necessarily going to be the one posting and it's not their responsibility to do Facebook, but you think that their friends would be good people to come and get to like the Facebook page, you know, make those employees or the partner an admin for a little bit so that they can take this action as well, since only admins can do it. You know, give them a half an hour, tell them to go in or ask them to go in and invite their friends. You know, that tells all of their friends that, yes, this is a business that they're involved with, that they've never taken that step, and you might be able to get some more people that way as well. And then if you don't trust them to be admins, you can remove them after the fact.
Well, that's a good idea. I am actually on the Computer Explorers page now looking at that Build an Audience.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can do that. I think there's actually some new options under, well, oh, yeah, you can invite email contacts. So if you have, it gives you the option, or at least last time I looked, for webmail, like if you have AOL or Hotmail or Yahoo or Gmail, I think, you can put in your login credentials and it will send out an email to your contacts. If they have Facebook and they are Facebook users and that email address that you have in your contacts is associated with their Facebook page, they'll sort of get a notification just as if you had invited them through the invite friends option. If it's somebody who is not on Facebook, they'll actually get an email where it'll say, you know, Lori wants you to join Facebook and like her page, that kind of thing. So that's another option. If you don't have webmail and you just use Outlook, you have to export your contacts to a .csv file. And then you can upload a CSV file into this section of Facebook to send it out to email contacts. So it's another feature. And then the share a page option within the same drop-down menu is simply just sort of posting it to your timeline or to your, it's like doing it as your status update. So I do get people sometimes who say, oh, I just don't want to bother my friends with my business stuff. That's your prerogative. So a more passive approach would be to simply say, you know, in one post on your page or on your personal profile, I've created a business page, or have you visited my business page lately? Here's the link. This is what we do. This is why you should like the page. Would really appreciate you check it out. So that's a little less invasive than sending a direct invite to everybody.
Okay. No, you never, like, say, hey, check this out, because then I get sidetracked doing it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So then after you sort of pinned your existing network, then it's really your job to start marketing your Facebook page and your Twitter account. And I'm not just, in this presentation I talk about Facebook and Twitter, but, you know, if your strategy is predominantly on Pinterest or your strategy is now focused on a LinkedIn company page or your Google Plus profile. Well, I'm saying Facebook and Twitter, for the most part, some of these same ideas are, of course, going to apply to those. But you basically need to now be marketing your Facebook and your Twitter, whereas before social media, people were saying, you know, every time they did something and they had this brand new website, they put your website URL everywhere. You know, that was like the newest thing. You had to put your URL on every single, you know, print advertising or commercials or, you know, see us online at blah, 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 .com on the radio. You know, people had no problem realizing that they have to get people to their website because we'll assume that at their website is where the sale was going to take place, or at least the lead. So it was going to be the contact form or they were going to be buying products. So people knew, and it was a no-brainer, I'm going to advertise my website. Now, once you have Facebook and you have Twitter, you know, that's really where you want people to come because you want to be sort of top of mind, you know, sort of always, you know, in their face in a very passive way through your posts. You want to get people to the Facebook page. You need to be doing the exact same thing that you were doing previously for your website. So, Lori, just like you were saying before, you know, you have to tell people how to get there. That's absolutely right. So don't just say, follow us on Twitter. Don't just say, find us on Facebook. Put the URL right there. People aren't going to go out of their way to follow you on Twitter or to like you on Facebook. People are much more likely to take those actions if you make it as easy for them as possible. So, and then there's the whole Facebook short URL. So especially for all of your print advertising where you're going to be displaying the URLs, make sure that if you have more than 25 fans already, that you go to facebook.com/username and get your custom Facebook URL such that it's very short. It doesn't have all of the numbers and the custom tracking or sort of ID that Facebook assigns to you when you start your page. So people aren't going to look at a URL that has tons of letters and numbers and is, you know, 140, you know, characters long and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to remember that. When I get back to my computer, I'm going to type that in. So definitely for this purpose, you need to have a shortened URL. And then, of course, there's always the QR code. And if you go to lifeify.net, you can create a QR code such that when people scan it, up on their phone pops your logo and a like button to like your Facebook page. So that's another option. I'm kind of under the impression now that, you know, I think more people are becoming aware of QR codes, but I believe really very strongly that you're going to have to sort of cater to the people who love to scan QR codes, and they think if they look at a URL and they don't see your QR code, they think, well, shoot, that's, you know, they dropped the ball because I would go through and I would like that if I could scan the QR code. And then there's the people who still aren't really looking at the QR codes and they would think, gosh, I can't scan that. I don't have a smartphone. I don't know how to do that. I really wish I knew what was behind there. So if you ask my opinion, put both. Put the, you know, the link so they can see what it is and then put the QR code so you give them two options.
That is cool. I am saving that link because that is on my to-do list for tomorrow.
Yeah, so let me put that lifeify.net into the chat. Yeah, I think actually last time I was at that website, the homepage of the website had a bottle of wine with a QR code on it, and they were sort of, you know, from, I thought that was really cool because since then I've been seeing many more QR codes pop up on the back of wine bottles. And whether it's to like the Facebook page or to find out more information about the vineyard or that sort of thing, I thought that was neat.
Cool. We just had stuff printed up with QR codes on it, and now I wish I had done this.
No. Well, there's always the next go around.
I guess so.
All right, we have a question in the chat. It says, is there a website that will analyze what goes on all of your social networking sites so you know what sites are giving the most attention? Well, there's a lot of paid-for products out there that will do it that are sort of more for the agency side. If you want to see which of the social sites is driving traffic to your website, you can do that by using Google Analytics. So if you have your Google Analytics tracking code on your website, one of the Google Analytics most recent updates was to track social engagement and shares and things like that to see what action people are taking on your site, as well as always looking at your traffic refers to see where people are coming from to your site. So were they clicking on the link on Facebook, or was it coming from LinkedIn or StumbleUpon or whatever the case may be? You know, Facebook has its own insights, so you can always go to Facebook Insights, which there's always been some debate about Facebook Insights. Some people say they think they're horrible. They just recently did an update to Facebook Insights where they were going to sort of do real-time insights that were updated like every 5 or 10 minutes or something like that. Twitter does not have its own built-in analytics like that. If you use a third-party app like Hootsuite or I think it's Visibly, V-I-S-I-B-L-I, think it is. You can get some really good Twitter analytics from there. I just don't know of a good free platform that sort of gives you an overall dashboard look at all of them. But I'm always keeping my eyes out because I do get that question a lot. So, of course, as soon as I find it, I will be sharing it with everyone. So, Lori, let's look at the slide number 8 where I gave a starter list of all of the possible places that you could put a button or a URL. And for computer explorers, just going through the list, do you see some of these where you think, oh, we should definitely do that, or ones that you know that you have them there and that they're working, or what do you think about the list?
Let me see. We normally... newsletters, yes. Email signatures, yes. There's links on our website. On most of our business cards, they are not on, because our website is on the brochures. We've not put them on the brochure, but those are being redone, so there goes a to-do list. We don't really have product packaging. We do put it on some of our promotional products. All over the place on networking events. We don't really do car wrap. I think we're thinking of QR codes on the sidewalk signs and trade show displays that I'm liking the Likeify to have it go to
right.
The instead. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I'll run through this real quick for people who are listening who can't get to the slides here, but, you know, email signatures. And email signatures is at the top of the list. If you don't buy into anything else that we're saying and you're not going to put a URL or link anywhere else, at least put it in your email signature. And at the end, I'll share, it was a site we did on Geek It Out a couple weeks ago, but it's in this presentation as well that I've been using for my email signature now for a couple of weeks, and I've seen a big increase in the amount of traffic to my social sites from my email signature. So, you know, again, if you're not going to do it anywhere else or you don't have time or you can't fool with it or you can't redo your print marketing right now, at least make sure that you have ways for people to get to your Facebook and your Twitter and your LinkedIn and those things from your email signature. But, yeah, email newsletters. Website and blog, it would sound like a no-brainer that you would have a way for people to get to your Facebook and Twitter on your website, but I still find websites where there is no way to get to Facebook or to get to Twitter. And it's not that the companies don't have Facebook and they don't have Twitter that they're using. They just don't put it on the website. So, you know, on your Facebook and your Twitter, you have a link to your website. On your website, you need to have a link to your Facebook and your Twitter. And just from that, I actually see that the businesses that have the Facebook Lightbox plugin, so that you can actually see the logo, you can see the name of the page, you can see how many people like the page, you can see the most recent post, and then there's an option to show some faces of people who like the page. So that's much more sort of in your face when you're looking at a website. I think especially because you can see the most recent post, it gives somebody a feeling for the content that you might be sharing on a page and help them decide whether or not to go forward and look at your page. But I do see the websites that have the like box instead of just a tiny little button or logo in the upper right-hand corner of the page get much more traffic and people liking their Facebook page than, again, just the single button. And you can get that plugin if you – I don't know the exact URL, but if you just go to Google and you type in Facebook like box plugin, it'll take you to the Facebook social plugins developer section, and you can sort of customize it. It'll give you HTML code that you would need then to either do it yourself on your website or give it to your webmaster. But yeah, contact forms, autoresponders. You know, if you're one of those people who, when you go on vacation or you're out of the office or whatever the case may be, you know, people are going to get your autoresponder. You can say, you know, thank you, I'll be checking email as soon as possible. In the meantime, you know, check out our Facebook page for blah, 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 or, you know, follow us on Twitter and yada, yada, yada. So it's another opportunity. Business cards, brochures, in-store signage. Actually, there's one that's not on the list here that I saw the other day, which was at the bottom of the sales receipt. It was for a bagel place local to me, and they said, like us on Facebook, and they gave the URL. So I thought that was cool. I would have liked to have seen like us on Facebook for, you know, specials and promotions, something like that. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. They at least put it on their receipt, which that's the only one I've stumbled upon so far. So, you know, I want to, if I were to go back and redo this slide, I would add receipts and invoices to that. You know, answering machine, so we can take your call, do you like us on Facebook, we offer blah, 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 blah. TV commercials, radio ads, there's that option to send a text message to have people follow you on Twitter and to have people like your Facebook page if they have mobile enabled for both of those. So it's a separate five-digit number for both Facebook and Twitter. And so if you just want to get people to come like your Facebook page, in your radio commercial, you could have something like text, I think you have to say text like Computer Explorers, or text like Social Geek Radio to blah, 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 blah. And if they have mobile enabled on their phone, as soon as they send that text message, they have now automatically liked your phone. So that's a good idea for radio promotion. So, yeah, networking events, sidewalk signs, trade show displays, presentations, literally any point of contact that you would potentially have with somebody is an opportunity to let them know that your business is socially active. You are out there on the social media sites. You're wanting to give people information on the fly. You're wanting to share what's going on with the business. And you have, you know, you have really great, if, even if your business does not lend itself well to giving out, you know, coupons and deals and specials all the time, then figure out what else is marketable about your Facebook page. Do you give really great information about the industry? Are you going to position yourself as that go-to resource? Let people know about that. You know, make sure that, you know, they know, again, exactly what they can achieve or what's in it for them by coming to your page. Okay, so that's sort of, kind of casting a net out there and hoping that people come and like your page. And we'll assume that the people that you're emailing and the people who are seeing this information at the trade shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are prospects, or at the very least are people who could one day become a customer, even if they're in the very early parts of the sales process. So you can go on to Facebook, and you can use Facebook as your page to try to get in front of other businesses with whom you'd either like to establish a business relationship or, you know, some sort of referral. But also you need to think about what other business pages would the people that you want to attract be participating with. So what you do is you go in the upper right-hand corner of Facebook to the right of the home button, the drop-down. Hit the drop-down, and it will say use Facebook as, and then you select the name of your page. Once you do that, you are no longer Lori on Facebook. Now you are Computer Explorer on Facebook. So that every time you go to another Facebook business page and you post a comment or you hit like, it's going to be the Computer Explorer's logo and the name Computer Explorer that shows up there and not your name. So that the admins of those pages will start to see your business name. Of course, as soon as they click on it, it will take you right back to your Facebook business page to give them the opportunity to like the page or at least learn more about what your business is. So not only is this a way to get on the radar of other businesses, but even if, I know I have people say to me all the time, I don't think I can use Facebook because my business is predominantly B2B. And this is a great way from a B2B perspective to be getting on the radar of those businesses. But also, as soon as you post, it'll say right there, you know, Social Geek Radio, whatever the comment is, so that when the fans of that page go to read those posts and to leave their own comments, they'll see the name of your page and your logo as well. That might make them say, I wonder what that's about. I'll click through to there. So they just got to your page. So that's a really great way to sort of put in some legwork on Facebook and think about, you know, which business pages this would be. And again, like I was mentioning, Facebook's internal search is really poor. So if you have a name of a business in mind, you could try typing it into the search, but you can always go to their website and see if they have a link to their Facebook page to find their Facebook page that way. So it takes a little more work than your usual sort of everyday Twitter strategy or Facebook strategy, rather, of just sharing content and engaging with your current fans. But as far as growing your page, you know, in front of people who would potentially like your product or service or purchase or engage your services, whatever the case may be, it's a great way to do that.
One of the things I do on Facebook when I'm using it as Computer Explorer is if you click home, you get a news feed of those companies that you have liked as your brand.
Right.
Which makes it a lot easier to kind of see what those people, the business you care about or are following, what they're doing. And a lot of times I'll share from there.
Right.
I always look who shared it.
Right.
Oh, look, they shared what we posted, and I always look to see who that is.
Sure. Oh, yeah, that's great, because then sort of once you have that established list, absolutely it's much easier. You can just click on home, see the news feed, go down and hit like, you know, and make your comment and then move on with your day. And then every now and then, maybe instead of, you know, a couple of times a week, maybe once a week or a couple of times a month, then you might reevaluate and go through and try to add some more pages to that list. But that's a really good point, too. All right, so let's see what else we have here. kind of switching gears from Facebook to Twitter to try to really sort of get, well, I can say it because it's the name of the show, get on the radar of your target audience on Twitter. I swear, when I train on social media or do social media presentations, I'm sure how, you know, you've heard me talking on this forever now. I must say, get on the radar of your target audience. Like, you know, if people were playing some sort of drinking game where every time I said that, they'd be wasted by the end of the show. But, I mean, that's really what it's all about. You know, you need to, you know, you don't just want exposure for the sake of exposure. You need to have exposure in front of the right people. And Twitter is so great for that. Using the advanced Twitter search, if you go to twitter.com/search-advanced, or if you go to search.twitter.com, then there's an option for advanced. You can get to it. If you run a search in Twitter, just typing in a keyword or a phrase in the search bar at the top, hit the magnifying glass to search. Once the results pop up, you'll get a little gear icon, and that gives you the option to save that search or to go to advanced search. So there's a couple of different ways to get to advanced search. What I like about it is you can search for not only what words people are including in their tweets, but advanced Twitter search is particularly good for local businesses. So if you don't just want to look up who's tweeting about, you know, after-school programs, and you don't care if somebody's talking about after-school programs in Florida because your business is in California, when you use advanced Twitter search, not only do you put in the keywords, but then there's a places filter that you can say, you know, near Baltimore, Maryland, and you can give it, you know, sort of a radius away, so that you really are making sure that you're only, quote unquote, listening to what people are saying in the market that you serve. So that's why I always like to talk about advanced Twitter search for the local businesses instead of just sort of your regular built-in Twitter search to Twitter. But yeah, kind of listening is key. You know, what would the people who might potentially be interested in your products or services, what are they tweeting about? And, you know, if you want to make sure that you are doing this for words that relate to what you offer. So if somebody says, you know, in my case, need help Facebook page, you know, if I have a safe search set up for that, and they're, you know, or I happen to go on and do the, you know, advanced search at that point, and I see somebody tweet that, I can jump in and say, hey, saw your tweet, you know, this is what I do, can I help you in some way? You know, or, but if you're just looking for, you know, let's say for computer explorers, you really want to just sort of get mom bloggers in general to know about what computer explorers does. So maybe they're not typing about computer technology right now because they don't know that the option is there. But mommy bloggers are going to be typing about, you know, any issue or anything related to their kids. So whether they are typing about their kids' homework or whatever the case may be, you can just look for those words. And you can see who's tweeting those words in your area. Then once you've pinpointed these people, there's lots of different ways that you can sort of try to not get in their, I mean, it is kind of getting in their face, but that doesn't sound so nice, but you can click the favorite button. So somebody, if they have their notifications enabled, they'll see, you know, CE team favorited your post. So they just saw the name of your business, they saw your username, they saw your bio, they saw your location, and they saw your website, simply because you didn't even retweet it, you just clicked the favorite option. But you could retweet it, of course. You know, it's, in my eyes, I always see sort of a retweet as a compliment. So if you really want somebody to notice your business, and you've pinpointed these people, you know, keep an eye on what they're tweeting and retweet their posts every now and then. They'll definitely start to notice you that way. And then, of course, you can also follow these people. So they'll get their notification again that says, you know, so-and-so has followed you on Twitter. So you have the options, again, of them, mentioning them, replying them, favoriting their tweets, retweeting them. There's always the Follow Friday. So we don't have that in the presentation, but for those of you who aren't super familiar with Twitter, on Friday, on Twitter, it's Follow Friday. So the premise is people are recommending other people on Twitter that they think others should follow. And they use the hashtag, either just hashtag FF or the hashtag, and they have Follow Friday spelled out. So, you know, if you're following along with somebody and you really want them to like you and notice you, you know, you could always give them a Follow Friday shout out and, you know, recommend them to your followers. And, you know, maybe now that you've retweeted them and you've replied to them and you've followed them and you favorited them and you've recommended them Follow Friday, maybe they'll finally pay attention to who you are. So you can, yeah, you can, if not, you know, they're not paying attention anyway. You have no hope. But you did everything you could.
A little stalking, right?
Yeah, a little stalking. So, speaking of stalking, it's one of our slides here. I was just clicking through. Well, actually, what we can do now, because I'm assuming, I assumed wrong, but Social Geek Radio, or Social Geek, Geek It Out time. Gosh, can I find the Geek It Out music? I don't know.
Because we don't want to sing it. That's just bad.
Yeah. Maybe it's this one. I'm just going to push music. So if it's not the Geek It Out music, BJ Emerson, if you were listening, I apologize. But it's going to be something, so we'll see what happens. No, that wasn't the right one. That was our old intro music that I found. So, but it's music. So we're switching. Well, we're not switching gears. Actually, we're kind of still these last two sites that I'll mention for the beginning of Geek It Out are within this slideshare presentation.
Right. Very. This next one is very cool. Very. That caught the attention of the franchisees at our conference.
Oh, good. Yeah, I could see everybody writing it down, and it's the easiest one so far. So this site is called brandmymail.com. So let me put it into the chat here. Now, I think I have mentioned this on Geek It Out before, but it also came, I know if I did, it came after a previous recommendation sort of in the space of WiseStamp. They do similar things where they let you create a really nice-looking signature for your email where you can have your picture, you can have the little icons to your social sites, your phone number, whatever you want it to say. Now, with WiseStamp, it's a little more basic than Brand My Mail is, and WiseStamp only integrates into a couple of webmail platforms. So I used WiseStamp for a couple of years. I loved it. I used it with Gmail, and it was great. So, you know, props to WiseStamp. I still love you. But recently, I did discover this Brand My Mail. The thing that I like about Brand My Mail and why I now have it in this presentation and what I'm doing is because it applies to hundreds of email platforms. So it integrates with Outlook and it integrates with Windows Mail and all sorts of different ones. So this I feel more confident that more people can use when I talk about it. It's also extremely user-friendly. They give you templates to choose from, and then you can drag and drop sort of the widgets that you want to have appear sort of within now your new email template. So, for example, I have my little signature box at the bottom where it has my face, and then it has my little social icon. But then at the bottom of that, I have my most recent tweet, which you can do with WiseStamp, but it has my most recent tweet. And then on the right-hand side, I put my most recent one or two Facebook page posts. So even though I have the buttons underneath my signature box, kind of like what I was mentioning with seeing more traction coming from the Facebook like box on a website as opposed to just the button, now instead of somebody seeing a teeny tiny little Facebook icon or Facebook button on my email signature, on the right-hand side, they can see the logo, the name of the page, and then one or two most recent posts. So they can click right through.
Your offering, so they can choose to like you instead of just liking you for
right.
you.
Exactly. Yeah, so I love it. And, I mean, there's so many different options. You can have a YouTube video that you can drag in there. So if you have a really great promotional video or a commercial for your company, you could put it in the top of your email. You could put it on the bottom of your email. Lots of really great options. So I really recommend it. It's the easiest one I found. It gives you the most options. And it's free to send, I think, what was it, up until 250 emails a month you can send with the free version. And then, of course, I send 9 million emails a month, so I had to upgrade because I wanted to continue to use BrandMyMail. I think I paid like $19.99 for the entire year at that point, which to me was 100% worth it. So BrandMyMail.com, check it out.
I like it. I like it. Robin Scott has implemented this in her emails, and it looks lovely.
Oh, very good. Yeah, it does. It looks really nice, too. And it's sort of like everything's there, but people can decide to do with it what they will. They don't have to. They just think you're like, especially for a company like Computer Explorers, it's like, oh, look how cool and techy this looks. You know, this company really knows what they're talking about, so that's always fun. The next site, we'll do the next one in here, which I think we have talked about before on Geek It Out, too, but I like bringing back old sites. And this one is reportive.com, and I do have to apologize to non-Gmail users. This one is for Gmail only. But reportive.com, let me put that in the chat. This is the way that I socially stalk people who email me. What I mean by that is as soon as an email comes in from somebody, if they have used that email address to set up any social accounts, literally all the way back to MySpace, on the right-hand side of my Gmail where usually you see all of the different ads, it gets rid of the ads and it replaces this nice bar where you know, if they have a picture of themselves on any of these social channels, I get to see the picture of the person who's emailing me. If they're on LinkedIn with that email address, the LinkedIn information that comes up at the top, so I get to see their title, you know, where they work. And then I can see if they're on Twitter, I can see a couple of their most recent tweets. So this isn't so much helping people find my social sites. This is me being able to see very quickly which social sites they're on. But what I would then do, you know, let's say if I'm, you know, emailing back somebody who has requested a quote or something like that. If they're on LinkedIn, I might go and request to connect with them on LinkedIn because I want them to see my background. I want them to sort of, you know, learn to trust me or grow to trust me based on the recommendations that I have on LinkedIn. So whereas, yes, I can email them back and forth and I can build rapport through there, you know, if I've used Reportive to now see that they're on LinkedIn and request to connect with them, that's more information now that they can go see about me. If I can see that they're on Twitter, I'll go and I'll follow them on Twitter. And they'll probably think, you know, because you know, they don't know about the super secret Reportive. They'll think that I put in a lot of legwork to look them up on Twitter and go follow them. And, you know, they might think, wow, that's really cool that I emailed her once and she went and she followed me. So you can use it that way.
They will know you are a social media rock star.
Yeah. So it's really cool. And I, one of my favorite things, and Lori, I think I mentioned this at the conference, is just the fact of being able to see the people. So I just feel like I can, I don't know what it is, and, you know, maybe you guys can agree with me, but I feel like I, just from seeing somebody's picture, gives me a better idea of how to sort of phrase, not like phrase things, but I just feel like I can connect with somebody better via email who I've never spoken to on the phone or I've never met face-to-face, just from being able to see their picture pop up in the side of my email. So I just love that fact alone. All right, so that's reported. And there is an option that's similar for Outlook users. And I know it also works with Gmail now, too. I don't know. I'm assuming if it works with Outlook and Gmail, they probably have added some more webmail versions. But it's Zobni. So we can do that as the second site here. Z-O-B, it's inbox backwards. Zobni.com. At my old job when I had Outlook, I did use Zobni in my Outlook. And what was nice about this one is it shows you the social sites. It also shows you your last few recent email exchanges with that person, if you've had some. Reporter actually does that too. I forgot to mention that. But this is sort of the reportive option for Outlook users. I tried it with Gmail when it came out for Gmail. I uninstalled Reportive and I put in Zobni to see which one I was going to like better. And I did like Reportive for Gmail better because I felt Zobni slowed up my Gmail. And it did bog down my Outlook a little bit. But just to be favorable and be able to give people options, you can check that one out, too. Let's see. What else do we have here for Geeking Out? Oh, here's one that this is totally not marketing related or anything like that. So switching gears altogether, so I give you another really cool site not related to anything else we've talked about tonight. But I have to share it with you because I'm really excited about it. It's called fitbolt.com, F-I-T-B-O-L-T.com. And this, you can install it into your browser, I think for Firefox, for Chrome. You can also, I think you can install it to your desktop. I don't know, there's a bunch of different options. What it does is it tries to help you remember to get up and stretch when you're sitting at your desk all day, or give you, or to sit up straight, or suggested ways to, you know, take 3-minute break now, and you can do, you know, these push-ups on the arms of your chairs or something like that. And once you have it installed in your browser, your desktop, a little pop-up reminder will come up in the bottom right-hand corner. So if you're at a point where you can take a 2 or 3 minute break and you can follow what it says, then up in your toolbar, you can click on that and it brings up this nice little box with pictures of the suggested stretches or whatever the case may be. So for if you have to sit at a desk all day, this is a really great way just to kind of remind you to move around a little bit for a little while. But that being said, our operator just told me on my ear that we have 90 seconds left. So I wanted to say hi to all of our Frank campers who listened in. And thank you, Lori, for joining me tonight.
It was fun.
Yes, great. Thank you. And, you can catch us next week. Next week we're going to be talking about mobile. Our guest is going to be talking about something called the Mobile Engagement Center. So make sure you tune back in next Thursday. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
Have a good night.
Bye, Lori.
Bye.